The title today's study is Well Done, Good and Faithful Servant. The passing of Queen Elizabeth II sent shockwaves around the world. When I heard that the family had been called to the Queen's bedside, and later when I saw the flag at half-mast over Buckingham Palace, I knew, as with all those watching, that the Queen had sadly passed away at 1:33 p.m. on September the 8th, 2022. I knew that the country as well as folk around the world would pause to contemplate the meaning of her passing. Although there was a moment's pause to contemplate, there would be much activity and planning taking place in Parliament and in the Royal Palace. They knew a funeral would soon take place. They knew Prince Charles would soon be crowned our new king. For some time, tentative plans had already taken place. They were not caught off guard. They knew that sometime very soon, the Queen's reign would come to an end. I felt led in this devotion to reflect on the life of Queen Elizabeth, to discover what had so greatly influenced her to have such a deep Christian faith. Who or what gave her the foundations to the truths that were so instilled in her mind and heart? To see what or who influenced her to develop the kind of resolute faith and rich godly character that would stand her in good stead through all the many trials she had to face during her long reign. Her life had a great influence with folk around the world. Everyone who met her immediately felt at ease with her warm, beaming smile. They had such a deep love and affection for the Queen. There is a very wise and proven truth given by the psalmist in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. These wise words were so true about the Queen and her parents. Let us look right back to the Queen's childhood to discover the lifestyle of her parents and great-grandparents, to see the wisdom they instilled on the young Prince Elizabeth. The Queen had godly parents and grandparents. It is recorded in the biography of Queen Elizabeth's great-great-grandmother, Queen Victoria, that she once went into the slums of London and visited the home of an elderly lady. When the Queen rose to leave, she asked, "Is there anything I can do for you?" The woman said, "Yes, ma'am, Your Majesty. You can meet me in heaven." The Queen turned to her and said softly, "Yes, I'll be there, but only because of the blood that was shed on the cross for you and me." Queen Victoria, in her day, the most powerful woman in the world, had to depend on the blood of Christ for her salvation, and so do we. The secret to the Queen's rich godly faith, which built her character, was knowing that she had a deep relationship with Jesus. The price he paid for her freedom, and in that relationship she could turn to him at any time for help, support and guidance. A foundation of the Queen Elizabeth's faith was already laid down in her parents by her great-great-grandmother, Queen Victoria. In the Bible, we read what great influence Timothy's grandmother had on young Timothy, who became a true warrior in the faith. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it now lives in you also." What a great testimony to the influence Timothy received from his grandmother and his mother. That same teaching the Queen received from her parents lived in her also. On Christmas Day 1939, the Queen's father, King George VI, when England had been at war with Germany for 3 months, gave a speech. The broadcast included a poem by Minnie Lewis Haskins. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light, that I may tread carefully into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness, and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light, and safer than a known way." It was the 13-year-old king's daughter, Prince Elizabeth, who had given him the poem. She thought it would be helpful in lifting the hearts of millions at this terrible time. It was a sign of Elizabeth's Christian instinct already forming, even then. The Queen's mother was also a devout Christian and used to make a retreat at the Anglican monastery at Mirfield every year. That community of the Resurrection centred the royal family in the Easter faith year after year through the Queen Mother. Dudley Jelfs, in his book The Faith of Queen Elizabeth, tells how Queen Elizabeth II grew up with the Christian faith instilled in her upbringing. Her parents, King George VI and Queen Elizabeth the Queen Mother, as she was also known, made sure Elizabeth and her sister Margaret attended weekly church services, read their Bibles, and said bedtime prayers. The Queen Mother instilled a great love of the Scriptures in her daughters when they were young, reading from the King James Version as well as having them memorize favorite passages, often from the Psalms. In Parliament, after the Queen Mother's death, a tribute was given by Reverend Ian Paisley. From the days of sunrise was the recollection of the fact that for her, church confirmation, where the Queen Mother picked for her hymn, a very well-known hymn, "I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, or to defend his cause, maintain the honour of his word, and the glory of his cross." He continued, "In the days when sunset was coming, two trees in her castle ground had to be felled, and her staff worried what her reaction would be. However, when she came out and looked on the felled tree, she said, 'I am glad now that they are gone, for we now can see the mountains.' She then recited the magnificent Psalm of David, Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my strength. My strength cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." She continued until the final verse, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Their daughter, Prince Elizabeth, followed and lived out the words of the Apostle Paul, wrote to the Christians in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Let us recall the oath of allegiance the young Prince Elizabeth made on her 21st birthday, 21st of April 1947. Prince Elizabeth was with her parents and young sister on a tour of South Africa. In a speech broadcast on the radio from Cape Town, the princess dedicated her life to the service of the Commonwealth. "I declare before you that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family, to which we now, we all belong." At the age of 20, Princess Elizabeth got engaged to Prince Philip, who was to become her rock of support through the many trials she would face. Was Prince Philip a Christian, we ask? It was after Prince Philip's death that we discovered he indeed had a strong Christian faith. How important the Queen and Prince Philip had a mutual love of God. Reverend Professor Ian Bradley, the author of the book God Save the Queen, told Premier Christian News that the Duke was extremely interested in theology and had a wonderful knowledge of the Bible. Bradley said that Prince Philip used to take notes of the sermons and then ask the preachers challenging questions about them. We read in 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. So what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial or a demon?" Princess Elizabeth was made queen at the age of 25 with the sudden death of her father. The Archbishop leading at her coronation began by asking, "Will you, to the utmost of your power, maintain the laws of God and the true profession of the gospel?" The Queen responded by saying, "The things which I have herebefore promised, I will perform and keep. So help me God." The Queen very wisely ensured her duty to the country and the Commonwealth did not isolate her from her growing family. Through the many trials of family life, she kept her family in the centre of all she did. What an example the Queen set. God as her companion and guide came first. Her family came second, and her duties to the country and the Commonwealth came after. Each Sunday morning the Queen would regularly attend her place of worship. While on her Scottish summer holiday in Balmoral, each Sunday she would continue to faithfully attend the Sunday morning service, with many of her family joining with her. Again, we see the God-fearing, faithful, steadfast life of the Queen, showing such an example for us to follow. It saddened me to see many young folk who are part of Christian families being led away after attending Sunday morning worship, often with the consent of their parents, joining up with their local sports teams. How we neglected keeping Sunday sacred and ensuring our children are encouraged into the youth of the church to allow them to grow in the Christian faith, which as a community will hold them from the distractions of the modern world. Wise words we read in Ecclesiastes 12:1-7. "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them." I believe it is no coincidence that the visit of Boris Johnson to the Queen on his resignation and the appointment of Liz Truss as the new Prime Minister, followed by the death of the Queen, were orchestrated by God. They were very timely. The passing of our Queen leaves a vacuum. She was a steadying force on our nation, which has been taken away, creating instability and uncertainty. We do not know what is round the corner. We need to keep faithful to God and vigilant. During the 10 days of mourning, right up to the Queen's funeral, some remarkable pictures were taken of a double rainbow over the Windsor Castle, a beam of light shining onto the Queen's coffin in the midst of a rainstorm, and a rich ray of sunshine glowing over Buckingham Palace. I felt a beam of light in my heart as I contemplated these beautiful symbols of gratitude and thanks. God was seeking to share his joy and pleasure at the Queen's godly long life. I'm reminded of what happened when Jesus first was baptized in the River Jordan. We read in Matthew 3:16-17. "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" Then later on we read what transpired when Jesus was transfigured before the disciples, with Moses and Elijah appearing also. We read in Matthew 17:5, "While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and the voice from a cloud said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Note the words. I am well pleased. Listen to him. We do well to acknowledge the legacy the Queen has left, the witness of her godly life and character, and listening to the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Again, in Ephesians 1:5, 1 and 2, Paul says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I was thrilled to listen to the message given by the Archbishop Justine Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury. In his sermon, he focused on eternal life after death, the central message of traditional Christian funerals. He said, the pattern of many leaders is to be exalted in life and forgotten after death. The pattern for all who serve God, famous or obscure, respected or ignored, is that death is the door to glory. The Queen knew this life is not the end. It is the beginning of a new life with Jesus in heaven. The Archbishop continues, Her late Majesty famously declared on her 21st birthday broadcast that her whole life would be dedicated to serving the nation and Commonwealth. Rarely has such a promise been so well kept. Few leaders receive the outpouring of love that we have seen. Jesus, who in our reading does not tell his disciples how to follow, but who to follow, said, I am the way, the truth and the life. Her late Majesty's example was not set through her position or ambition, but through who she followed. I know His Majesty King Charles shares the same faith and hope in Jesus Christ as his mother, the same sense of service and duty. Remember, the Archbishop was addressing a congregation of 2,000, as well the sermon being televised to an estimated 4 billion folk around the world of varying religions. They were hearing Jesus' own words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Archbishop continued, In 1953, the Queen began her coronation with silent prayer, just there at the high altar. Her allegiance to God was given before any person gave allegiance to her. Her service to so many people in this nation, the Commonwealth, and around the world had its foundations in her following Christ, God himself, who said that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. People of loving service are rare in any walk of life. Leaders of loving service are rarer, but in all cases, those who serve will be loved and remembered when those who cling to power and privilege are long forgotten. The grief of this day, felt not only by our late Queen's family, but all around the nation, Commonwealth and world, arises from her abundant life and loving service now gone from us. The Archbishop recalled the Queen's promise on her 21st birthday to dedicate her life and service. Rarely has such a promise been so well kept. Few leaders receive the outpouring of love we have seen. Speaking to the 2,000-strong congregation, which included royalty, world leaders and members of the British establishment, he said, People of loving service are rare in any walk of life. Leaders of loving service are still rarer, but in all cases, Those who serve will be loved and remembered when those who cling to power and privilege are long forgotten. Her family were grieving, as every family at a funeral. But in this family's case, doing so in the brightest spotlight, may God heal their sorrows, may the gap in their lives be marked with memories of joy and life. Welby ended his sermon by echoing the Queen's words in her COVID lockdown address in the nation. "We will meet again," were words of hope, he said. "We will all face the merciful judgment of God. We can all share the Queen's hope, which in life and death inspired her servant leadership. Service in life, hope in death. All who follow the Queen's example and inspirations of trust and faith in God can, with her, say, 'We will meet again.'" Looking back over the centuries, the American evangelist D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, the forerunner of the Baptists, John Wesley, who commenced Methodism, Billy Graham, the evangelist of recent years, and many others preached to thousands. But the life and witness of Queen Elizabeth, it was said that the funeral was watched by 4 billion people around the world. We are living in the closing days of this generation, as Jesus said in Matthew 24:12-14. "Because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." Are we ready to meet the King of Kings? Following on from the sad death of our Queen, we can look forward to Prince Charles being crowned King Charles III. Likewise, we can look back at the death of Jesus, who died in our stead, but rejoice at what he has done. As the song says, "Lord, I lift your name up high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you saved us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high." As God's children, one day, very soon, we can look forward to meeting Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, being called up with him in heaven for eternity. Then in a short time following, he will return to the earth again. We are waiting Jesus to return and appear on the Mount of Olives, defeating all the evil nations and setting up his kingdom on earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as recorded in Revelation 7:14. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. What legacy will we leave behind when the Lord calls us home? Will we get a warm welcome and hear those wonderful words that Jesus said when describing the parable of the three stewards in Matthew 25:21? "Well done, good and faithful servant." Can we re-echo the words of the songwriter? "Brother, let me be your servant. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too."